Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the best of Game Time Decisions with Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart. Let's roll.
Yeah, we're in a screw you mood today. I'm Josh Allen, and I've tweeted and told everybody off over the last 5 years. The hits just keep coming for Josh Allen right now. Of course, yesterday, it was disclosed, that he used the N-word on Twitter years ago, not directed at anybody. You know, he's not a racist, but bad judgment of the kid with his language. And now people are all over his Twitter, and it's just it's a treasure trove. It's a treasure trove of him talking about how hot AJ McCarron's girlfriend is.
Yep.
And, of course, now A.J. McCarron
is the quarterback.
Is the guy that he's trying to beat out for the starting quarterback
AJ,
position.
Can you bring your girlfriend to One Bills Drive?
He's like, damn, A.J.'s with this? Damn. He's like, A.J.'s girlfriend, for real? And then now, of course, the killer tweet that we found, in which he tweeted in 2016, if he ever gets drafted by the Buffalo Bills, please somebody kill me.
Seemed pretty happy when he was drafted last night, though. He was, like, really happy.
No, he is. Yeah.
I got to tell you something.
He's a rah-rah guy.
He is a rah-rah
guy. And I'm not going to hold what he said as a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old against
Listen,
him.
I think the Bills, I know these mocks, we can worry about them 5 years later. But to get him, I wish it was Rosen, but you moved up to get a franchise quarterback. We'll give the kid a chance. But Tremaine Edmonds at 16, the kid's 19 years old, Gabe. He's owned, like, and he's a freak. He's an absolute freak. I love what you guys are doing in the draft. Did you see who Seattle picked? We picked a running back. We get an F. This running back could have gone in the second and third round. Penny from San Diego State. This is, I don't know.
Second and third round.
Maybe fourth.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something.
I don't know what the hell.
Dude, the Seattle Seahawks. They're the laughing stock of the draft right now. They're getting rid of all their team.
And poor Rashad Penny's a good running back. He can't rush for 2,200 yards.
But he's not the 27th pick
overall. No,
that is a reach. And see them all in the war room? They're all high five. I was going nuts. I'm like, what are you idiots doing? What are you doing? Oh, my God, this team's so stupid. Gabe, they're going
to
get
like
rid of...
It's like walking onto a car lot where the car dealer's got like 5,000 cars.
Yeah.
And the sticker says $12,000. You walk up, I'll give you 16 right now for this car. Sold. The thing is, and I hate this, because when these kids get drafted in these spots, then, you know, it's like the kid sort of gets criticized. Rashad Penny this, Rashad Penny
that. No, he's a good kid. It's just
good
he shouldn't have gone at 27.
Absolutely freaking ridiculous. If not, we'll get to the Cleveland Browns. But for the love of God.
That was the worst pick of the draft.
What the hell were the Seattle Seahawks doing? And then look, Cam, the New England Patriots with like the next pick. Yeah, we'll take Sonny Michel.
It's unbelievable.
Because the Patriots were like, damn, if they just took Rashad Penny, other people are going to start hopping on the running backs. Right now.
Yeah, they got Sonny Michel at 31.
Great pickup by the New England Patriots.
It's a steal.
Dude, Sonny Michel would have been perfect with the Seattle Seahawks. Dude, you're a Seattle Seahawks fan. The biggest success the Seahawks had, Marshawn Lynch, bowling ball.
Yep.
That's Nick Chubb. Take Nick Chubb in the second round. You could have got Geis, Chubb, Sonny Michel, Ronald Jones. Instead, you take the 5'9 kid from San Diego State.
Do you know what Seattle has?
I think he's 5'10", 5'11".
Whatever we have, we have five running backs that are 5'9", 5'10". CJ Pro, honest to God, Pete Carroll's drunk or trying to sabotage this franchise. I know these days are done. San Francisco's getting better. You saw.
He is old.
The Cardinals stole Josh Rosen in that. The Seattle Seahawks, dude, if you want to talk about a team going down the shitter, like they're... Gabe, be happy to be a Buffalo fan. This is going to be the old 2-14 Stan Gelbaugh
They're not they, that. They can't be.
They're going to be awful next year. They're going to know what? I'm going to make a, I think they're probably going to be last in that division.
Why wouldn't they have taken an offensive lineman to protect That's Russell Wilson?
An offensive lineman. You've already lost all your
a wide receiver?
Yes. A wide receiver. Yeah, to help Doug Baldwin. Yes.
Cortland Sutton, wide receiver.
We don't need the last thing they needed was Rashad Penny. I hate to say it. And then they go,
no, but you're right.
Wow, he returns kicks. He took eight back for 10. Really? Okay.
Yeah, against who? UNLV? Dude, he plays in the Mountain West.
I know he does.
Dude, the Mountain West. Let's be real. I mean, you've got the MAC and the Sun Belt, which are known as it's sort of a battle each year.
Weak conference, yeah.
It's sort of those are the sort of the low tier conferences in college football. After that, it's the Mountain West.
I'm with you.
I mean, we're talking about UNLV and Hawaii.
I gotta be honest with you, Marantz.
New Mexico last night
for me, it was Sports Rage Jr.
He's running the ball against the New Mexico Lobos.
Yeah, good stuff.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Brian Urlacher's not there. That's the thing. I'm gonna tell you something. Last night.
Were you pissed when they did that?
No, not just that. This is my night last night. They draft Rashard Penny. I don't get that angry about stuff. Boom, I throw stuff against the wall. The Capitals got a 2-0 lead. Pittsburgh scores 3 answered. I go, you know what? I think I'm going to smash the Sharks. I don't believe in this Vegas shit. It's 4-0 before the game even starts. I had a night last night, Gabe. Like, you talk about, like, real rage, like the old days. Like, I don't throw converters and do that stuff anymore. I was seething last night. Like, everything went wrong. The Seahawks got the worst pick in the history of an NFL draft. All our games lost.
It's not the worst pick.
It's brutal.
It's pretty bad.
It's awful.
So what are they getting grade? Who grade? What? Where's that? An F? Who
no, they gave him a D, but a it's D? The worst. It should be an F minus. I don't even know what that. I love these draft grades too. No, it's an F. It's an F. Yeah. You know what? I hope Petty turns out to be the best player in the history of football, and actually, like, and if he does,
but
like,
the thing is, you
tie
like
me up
you
and
said,
punch me out.
Like you said, he's not really.
He's not really
like head and shoulders above Prosize or even the who's the McKissick kid? What the hell is his name?
Yeah, McKissick.
And you then, got a bunch of sort of guys. You got a bunch of guys.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, you don't have like.
You know what they say about a bunch of guys? You got no guys.
Yeah, you have one guy.
Yeah, I got no guys.
Yeah, but understand exactly. If you're like, all right, we need a running back. We got to go back to our roots, hand the football off like we did with Marshawn Lynch. Then you draft the big bowling ball kid, Nick Chubb, Sonny Michelle. Big, powerful SEC backs, Cam.
Yeah, so
you just took a Mountain West kid that can return a kick.
We got McKissick, CJ Process. How can we forget
CJ
about
Process? Yeah. Is a soft bust.
He's a catching back. And another thing is, oh yeah, sorry, forgot about this one, the Thomas Rawls experience.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got Rashad Penny. Like, is he really better than any of these guys?
I sports rage.
And the Seattle Seahawks have so many needs.
They're going to lose Earl Thomas. I'm telling you, this is happening.
You need secondary help.
You quote me on this
one. You need secondary help.
Oh, we need everything.
You need linebacker help.
Offensive line
is terrible. Your wide receivers are lacking.
I got everything. I can write a list.
And then you go and you take a damn running back.
Here's even the grade. I like this. Nice runner, but there's so many needs. Better backs. Weird. And it's not just weird. It's insane to me. Like, do they see something that nobody else in the football world sees? Anyway, I'll get off it. It's shit.
It's bad.
It's one of the worst. Like, I don't know what this team's doing, but they're going right back to the old days of being a horrible, horrible football team when I was rocking my jerseys when they were 2-14. Kelly Stouffer, Dan McGuire, Stan Gelba, nightmare.
All right. So Lorenzo Alexander, Buffalo Bills captain. Says Josh Allen will have to answer for his insensitive tweets.
Nice.
We're off to a great start here in Buffalo as well with Josh Allen.
Hey, guys, it's okay. We're going to play some football. I have a feeling he's going to come there. Okay, everybody, yeah, let's do this thing, man. Positivity. I'll tell you one thing, though. That guy looked like a politician when he got drafted last night. He had the teeth going. I was like, it was like Cress White strips. He was smiling to everybody. And then you see the tweet. If I go to Buffalo, kill me.
Somebody kill me. If I get drafted by the Bills.
I
got
to tell you, Marantz, you can't make this shit up. It's so good. It's just, are you kidding me, man? Like, it's, why didn't even Seattle take Vita Vea? He's a Samoan guy. He played at Washington.
Well, he got taken 12.
Well, I know, but like, I'm just so rattled.
Why did it take
I love that kid.
Because, yeah, he went 12th. Yeah, he went 12th to the Redskins.
The Redskins, you got it. Actually, Bucks. The Bucks picked him up at 12 from Washington. Yeah.
The Bucks via Washington. My bad.
And then the Redskins picked LaRon Payne from Alabama. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Through Tampa. My
Through Tampa.
There were a lot of trades.
Told you last night it was going to be over. I better say 2.5. It was trade city. That's the only bet I should have made last night and gone to bed.
There were a ton of trades. So, all right, let's blast through this. So, for the record, Steve Merrill will join us in about 10 minutes at time. And we will talk NASCAR, NBA. We got a bunch of NBA games tonight, 3 NBA games on the board. Otto Porter, looks like Otto Porter's done for the year. Big game tonight. The Raptors were getting 2. The line is swung all the way to Toronto minus 1.5. And I really, come on, really? Is
Otto Porter? No, he's
worth
not worth
3.5 points?
No, he's worth a point.
Can't just be the Otto Porter. He's not even worth a point. I guess he's worth a point. He's good.
Half a point?
Yeah, but he's good, but it takes a lot for a player to move a point spread.
I agree.
With just one guy being out that's not like a LeBron or a superstar.
Yeah, no, Wall territory, Beal, LaRozan.
Like, put it this way. If DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry, one of the two of them were out, the line would go from 1.5 to
4.
No, to plus 2.5, plus 3. Like, it wouldn't swing that much, and that's just one star. Like, it would swing a bucket, 2 points or so. They're not going to get crazy. All right. So Baker Mayfield gets selected first overall.
What a joke.
And the Cleveland Browns, for one reason or another, I don't know, man. You guys go 0-16, and all you get out of it is Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward.
That's what shocked me.
Denzel Ward arguably is the best cornerback.
Sure.
Maybe. But you see, look, Minka Fitzpatrick went 11th, right? And you could argue between the two of them. Minka Fitzpatrick goes 11th. The over-under for Denzel Ward of the sports books was 11.5. And the sports books aren't the be-all that, end-all when it comes to this
stuff. They know stuff, though.
But the bottom line is, you saw that for the most part, Denzel Ward was projected to go in between 10 and 15.
Correct.
So, if you're the Cleveland Browns, then why the hell didn't you deal? Sort of like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were smart. The Buccaneers were like, we don't even really want any of these guys right
now.
We'll
just wait for our guy.
Buffalo's willing to give us a couple of, picks in the 50s here. Let's just move down a couple of spots and do this. And, Cleveland,
next to Seattle, that was an embarrassment. Yeah,
Cleveland, you guys were as reckless with your picks as I was, and I have been. Getting off a plane drunk in Vegas reminds me of the time I went to the Stratosphere on a Friday. Made a big mistake. I was doing a live show at the Sahara that night.
Great casino.
And made a big mistake. Got blasted on the plane and checked into the Stratosphere. It's a long, long time ago. Checked into the Strat, and one of these deals where they're like, "Oh, sorry, sir, your room's not going to be ready till 3 o'clock." And it was like noon or something
like
that.
It's like, just let me in my damn room.
No, but I didn't care. I was like, whatever. It's all good. And I went right to the tables.
Oh, boy.
And I lost like $1,500 in between noon and 3 o'clock.
It happens.
Before I even checked into my room, I essentially had a couple of $100 left for the next 3 days. Okay?
I hate those. I hate those stories.
No, it was terrible. Like, it was terrible.
How come all of our bad stories are from the Stratosphere where I took a loan, almost took a lean into my house?
It's bad vibes.
No, it's you can't win at that.
But that's the Cleveland Browns. Like, you
guys, they are the Stratosphere.
You have all this money. You've got all this potential. I could just throw out 1-2 combinations that they could have gotten instead of Baker Mayfield and Ward.
Why did you should have picked Chubb at 4?
They could have done Saquon Barkley 1, Bradley Chubb 4.
Yep.
You guys really wanted a new quarterback. You could have taken Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, or Josh Rosen, and gotten Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, got picks.
You could have gotten the best offensive lineman in the draft if you wanted, and Quentin Nelson and a new quarterback, or Saquon Barkley and Quentin Nelson. Like, you go down the list of various two steps that you guys could have taken as opposed to Baker freaking Mayfield that nobody was going to take. And listen to this, Cam. If the Browns really like Baker Mayfield, they could have taken Saquon Barkley first, Chubb first, or anyone else they wanted, and not taken a quarterback, and they could have gotten Baker Mayfield fourth. Because
actually,
I'll tell you what, there wasn't a hope in hell the New York Giants were taking Baker Mayfield.
No.
No one, and everyone knew this. Gettleman likes Eli Manning. They're not kicking Eli to the curb yet just because he got benched once, all right, last year. Eli's not done there. Everyone knew Saquon Barkley's from the Bronx, generational talent. The Giants weren't taking him. So then, Cam, you have the New York Jets, So the Cleveland Browns, all they would have had to do is worry that the Jets aren't going to take Baker Mayfield. And then they could have gotten him at four.
Yep.
And the Jets didn't want Baker Mayfield. They got the guy they wanted in Sam Darnold.
Exactly.
Right? So it's called bluffing, guys. It's the draft. Yes, maybe you'll get screwed sometimes and somebody will outwise you, but it's like playing poker with your buddies. You've got to have a poker face. The Browns had no poker face. We love Baker Mayfield. Let's take him. It's like a fantasy football league draft, and some bozo takes a quarterback in the first round.
The Browns are a lot like me when I play poker. I got a good hand. I start to sweat. Eyebrows. Like, I remember once I gave away a paycheck. Like, I was playing with I got grifted at the golf club, and then a buddy, a good friend of mine, said, "You just can't play poker anymore." Why do you think I fell in love with blackjack? Or else I had to wear like a full-on balaclava. Gabe, you know me.
You're too emotional.
Oh, that's the thing. If I got good cards.
Well, you're like, oh, yeah.
No, it's not that. Even if I can play it cool, it's my face. I can't control the blood flowing in my melon. So my buddy said every time I had good hand,
they noticed.
They saw the shades change.
Really?
Are you, eyebrows like... whiter, better hand. And it was bad. It was just like, yeah, they saw, like, they said my face every time they knew exactly what suit I had.
If I was a poker,
I'm the Browns.
If I was a poker player, and I'm not, but if I was, I would go like Unabomber style.
Yeah, that's the thing. Right over.
I'd have the hood on and the sunglasses.
Glasses, exactly.
Hood, sunglasses, and just be motionless the whole time.
Yep.
That's the only way.
Almost be dead.
That's why you see a lot of the guys do that, right? They put the hood on. They put the glasses. They put a deep hat on.
Think about it, Marantz.
They even put headphones on.
Damn right.
They're totally
think about
they're
it.
Near their own world. You look at them and you're like, I don't know what this guy's thinking.
They play against the same person. Think about it. And the same tables thousands of times in their life. You don't think one time they can catch an edge on somebody? I'm with you.
But
you have to wear a costume.
Those guys are so good.
Yeah, I know.
It's like they're psychiatrists, right? They're not just gamblers, Cam. It's like the NFL schedule, supposedly randomly done. Yeah, it's randomly done. The Buffalo Bills play five of their first seven games on the road.
Oh, yeah. Random.
Bills have been playing football, Cam, for like, 58 years now? They've never opened up the season with 5-7 on the road. Never once before. It's like, why not? Why not? It's just, like almost automatic. Yeah, we're opening in Baltimore, of course. I saw we're playing the Ravens. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sure it's at Baltimore, right, in week one?
Yep.
Of course.
At Baltimore.
Why would, you know, like the Bills never open up at home. It's like once every 6 years or something like that.
It's a great point.
They like to bury them. I don't know what it is. Like they really do.
Like you're already down. Like, you know, in Buffalo with the sports landscape there, you're already losing the battle, and then you kick them in the balls again.
Well, they could say, listen, this team's sort of up and coming.
Yeah, we'll give them. We'll give them a home opener.
You know, they're loyal fans and stuff. Let's throw them a bone and let's just make it so two of the first four games are only on the road.
No bones.
You know, no. Let's, you know, and Cam, you know where they go too. It's like back to back at Green Bay and at Minnesota.
So, oh, that's a murderer's row right there. That's brutal.
In weeks three and four.
Yeah, great. Yeah. You get punched in the face that early. Come on.
The Buffalo Bills open up the season at Baltimore. Then they host the LA Chargers. Then they go to Green Bay, and then they go to Minnesota.
That can't – I got to tell
and
you.
And then they go to Houston like 2 weeks later.
That is the worst opening five-game schedule. They could be like 1-4.
No, I got to be honest with you. If the Buffalo Bills can get out of this at 3-4, it's good. The schedule really sort of evens itself out because they got a million home games to end the season.
Tough place to play in Buffalo, especially in the winter when it gets cold.
But you've got to absorb not being 2-5.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So those games are tough. No, that's the thing. Like, even the opener, you go into Baltimore, the Ravens at home are a totally different beast.
There's a game.
Green Bay, Minnesota, yikes.
I think there's a game against the Colts mixed in here.
That would be nice. A little sprinkle of Indianapolis, yeah.
Yeah, it's at Baltimore.
Yep.
At Baltimore, host LA Chargers, at Minnesota.
Brutal.
At Green Bay.
Nightmare.
Host Tennessee.
Wow, that whole schedule is rough.
At Houston.
Brutal.
At Indianapolis. So it's not even a Colts in Buffalo.
Like, not a gimme, but they should win that one.
Oh, yeah, and then it's the Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Great.
But the second half of the season, Cam, Chicago Bears in Buffalo.
Yes, yes.
At New York Jets.
Winnable, but they always blow it against the Jets.
Bye week, Jacksonville Jaguars in Buffalo.
That's
at
good.
Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
New York Jets in Buffalo. Detroit Lions in Buffalo. At New England Patriots, Miami Dolphins in Buffalo.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
So, like, honestly, if the Bills can, like, sort of linger and be .500 going into the final 2 months of the season.
If they can be .500 going into the final 2 months of that schedule, things will be very good.
Yeah, like, if they can navigate 4-4, 3-5 will be tough because there's not going to be a lot of room for error. And you know, listen, I was at the game. I saw them lose to the New York Jets.
You and Florio were there. Oh, that's the thing. The Jets always play them tough.
And the Jets are going to be good this year, or at least
they'll be better.
Yeah.
They'll definitely be better.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Whoa. I don't like cold as ice when we're doing a gambling and DFS show. Not the right song.
You never take advice.
Nope.
Now you're going to pay the bookies.
Betting on the Leafs.
It happens all the time. Cam's got to meet the man.
Meet the man.
Where's the money?
Where's the envelope?
The phone won't stop ringing. It's the bookie again.
Oh, no. He's got a prosthetic leg in a Fiero.
No, you're right. We got to go back to like the old days, actually. And we'll let's go back to that song. This is why I'm hot.
This is why I'm hot. This is why. Yeah, that used to be the intro to the gambling show.
Yeah, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why
great,
you're
great,
not.
Great, great, great. Yeah.
This is why I'm hot.
The opposite of cold as ice.
That's a good song. Yeah, we'll get that in the rotation here.
True.
There we go.
There it is.
Hey, big man, this is good.
Because I'm fly.
A little Mims. I like Mims.
We used to host a show for covers.com. This is the intro song.
Our intro. Yeah.
Perfect for a gambling song, isn't it? This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why you're not. Do you remember when we used to dance? I kept waiting for
da, da, da. It's not coming.
I was now waiting for the worst. No, it's like karaoke version or something.
Instrumental telling us lies.
The worst to dance. Something chance of circumstance. Let's bring in Big Man on campus, who probably does not know this song. It was the heat of the moment. Yeah, this Meek Mill stuff. Since when do NBA teams send helicopters for
convicts?
Just
to pick you up from jail. I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Number two, man, this Meek Mill stuff. People in Philadelphia acting like this guy's Nelson Mandela or something.
I know.
Like he's some political. Don't violate your probation. You wouldn't have went to jail, Meek.
With the cost of that whole episode of putting Meek Mill in the stadium, in that they could have went Joel Osteen and actually fed 50 homeless people and gave them shelter for the night.
Or bought Victoria Osteen a new pair of shoes.
Yes. That was
You know she needs a new pair of shoes. It's funny when even I showed you guys what she looked like, even you right away came, you're like, oh, those eyes, I don't trust her.
It's funny because, you know, I when you live in the burbs.
She really does have that look. That
she has the look of like just like evil Stepford wife type, you know, the type that would just, yeah, like she would have no problems taking all the money in your wallet and your home.
I'm telling you, man, we're going to find out that Joel Osteen's a good guy, but she's wearing them. She's like, we only raised $1.8 million this month, Joel. You better step it up. You know, and like, he's a thin guy. He's a small
guy. She wears the pants. You could just tell by looking at her who wears the pants in that relationship. She does.
That would be so crazy if my pastor.
She's kind of hot, though.
Yeah, my pastor had 8 pools, 5 fireplaces, and also got a strap on at night. That would be too much.
She is nice, but here it is. It's the eye.
Victoria Osteen, wife of televangelist Joel Osteen, was removed from an airplane in December 2005 for failing to comply attendant request. Osteen was upset about liquid found on her seat while boarding. When flight attendants could not help her right away, she reportedly stormed towards the cockpit, knocking over a flight attendant and arguing with another. She basically went full out. Do you know who the F I am?
Yeah, postal.
It's very, very Christian of her, wasn't it?
Look at those eyes, Morenci. Snake eyes. Those are serpent eyes right there. You can't trust them.
Joel Osteen was on the scene and had to calm everyone down.
Yeah, exactly.
Witnesses said Joel was very pleasant.
Yes. Joel was the man.
Very, very pleasant.
He says, hey.
Sounds like Victoria should hook up with Baker Mayfield. You know, Tony, there's something. I don't like that bandana, man, that he wears. Yeah, I don't like the bandana. Like, it really, really, really bothers me. Like, I'm really, really starting to dislike this kid. And I've been ripping him on Twitter all day, and people are starting to turn on me now. Like, oh, he's such a good guy. Yeah, it never ends. So he hung up on Gus Cook. You see this?
No.
Yeah, so Gus, what's Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield's, you know, looking for an agent, et cetera.
Yep.
And this guy, what's his name? Gus Cook, right? That's the guy's name. I just want to make sure I'm not getting it backwards or whatever. It was Brett Favre's agent. So Baker Mayfield, here he is. All right, here's this. Let me get this story right. Yeah, Bus Cook. What did I say? Gus.
Gus. Bus, Gus.
Bus. Yeah, Bus.
Get on the bus, Gus.
Bus. What kind of name is Bus?
Yeah, Bus, yeah. He's a vehicle.
All right, so.
Victoria also said one time in a Joel let her get the mic one time, and it didn't turn out well.
No,
When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy. Do it for yourself. Joel got the mic back after that.
Thanks, honey. Snatch. Yeah, you're telling me, man. Wow.
I'd like to have a drink with Joel, like, someday, like, when he's really been honest. Joel, what's up with Victoria, man? Like,
she's a handful, Morenzi.
He'd be like, Gabriel, you have no idea.
What idea?
Fortunately, the Lord's strength gets me through. All right, so Baker Mayfield's got a Facebook series going on. I didn't know this. Baker.
I want one of them.
Behind Baker, all right, in which he shares intimate details on the process of going to the National Football League.
Mayfield he has to go to the draft now. Probably Facebook wants him to go.
Mayfield, why, is he going? He said he's not going. Is he going now?
Yeah, he said he's not going, but he said he's feeling pressure that he should go.
Yeah, exactly. Mayfield gave some initial intimate details on a very short phone call he had with Bus Cook, prominent player agent who's best known for representing Brett Favre and currently Cam Newton.
Nice.
Big time. Apparently, the phone call ended pretty quickly because Mayfield hung up. He's out of the 23-year-old. Explain the situation. Bus Cook, Brett Favre's agent. Great story, says Mayfield. Every agent does the same thing. They give you their resume. They go on and on about all this stuff. Finally, he was about to give me a chance to talk, and he asked, so when did Bob Stoops start recruiting you? And I literally said, excuse me? And then he repeated the question, and I said, I got to go, and I just hung up on him. Because Baker Mayfield is offended that Bus Cook doesn't know the story that Bob Stoops didn't recruit him, and he was let go by Texas Tech, and he left Texas Tech and went to Oklahoma. So this kid is so freaking arrogant that he's willing to hang up on Brett Favre and Cam Newton's agent because the guy doesn't know your story. Like, really? Like, this, you know, this is the kid that you everyone's talking about that want to take in the top three. Have fun.
Did you hear?
Have fun.
What about the
suckers.
San Diego story? Did you hear about that?
Yeah. The Chargers. I talked about it, Tony. Yeah.
The playbook.
Oh, yeah, didn't learn the playbook. I like what he said. I have a lot on my plate, he told them.
That's amazing.
And you know what? Cameron 2 Drew, who's the fantasy kid, good guy.
Yep.
And a couple other millennial types said, what's the problem with this? He's not going to the Chargers anyways. That's not the point. How do you know you're not going to the Chargers?
I wouldn't pick him. He'd be off my board after hearing that.
No, we're in agreement. He's a punk. I'm saying if the Buffalo Bills take him, I'm becoming a Cleveland Brown fan. I'll go from one piece of crap team to another. Red Heat Ridge continues. Lineup Lock Live. Tyrod, baby. Josh Gordon. Jarvis Landry.
And I'm sure Donald Trump would have busted in there too, and taken some bullets, right?
You don't remember Trump.
Sure, he would.
He's
an American hero.
Trump did say that. Trump said he would have gone in there
and taken bullets.
Yeah, a guy that didn't go to Vietnam because he's got a bad ankle, yet he was on the baseball team at the same time.
Yeah.
Hey, I wouldn't want to go to Vietnam either.
No, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also, I don't pretend, dude, that I'm G.I. Joe now either.
Exactly. Correct.
It's always that, though. It's like the John Bolton guy. He's the new, that guy.
I like him because he's old school, and I'm pretty sure he has a canteen in his desk.
Yeah, but same thing. He's never met a war, man, or a bomb that he doesn't like. You know how many days he spent enlisted in the military? None. just, you know.
You're bringing some good ammo to the table there, buddy.
I'm just
saying.
Just
the guy, just how about the guy that, how about the guy that they just try to get through to be the veterans affair?
Dr. Ronnie.
This is awesome. This story can't be true.
Dr. Ronnie.
This story is so amazing. It can't be
true. He sounds like a good guy. I feel bad for him. They call him the Candy Man because he hands out drugs and pills so easily.
Oh, yeah. No. I got to be honest with you, too. From a guy that flies, like, he's handing out so people are going to sleep on planes.
Yeah,
it was
more than that. But he's the guy because he looks the part. He looks like he should be on, like, NCSI.
Yeah. NCIS.
Dr. Ronnie Jackson. He sounds folksy. Yeah. He was the guy that gave Trump the medical.
He looks great.
Exam.
Yeah, he looks
Remember
great.
And he goes, he's got great genes. He might live to be 200.
That's right. And they go, Trump has an exercise. He eats fast food. He goes, you can't say enough about his genes.
Dude,
he's
got great genes. This guy said that Donald Trump was 6'3", 235, 240. So that's what Albert Pujols is. Look, there's a picture of Donald Trump next to Albert Pujols. You tell me they're the same. All right? And, so Dr. Ronnie did such a good job bullshitting at the press conference that Trump thought it'd be a good idea to why not make him the head of the VA?
Yeah.
Which is the most complicated government agency with the most problems to run right now, where you are in charge of over 800,000 people.
Good luck.
And you're purchasing billion-dollar contracts.
And
old
no
Dr.
Cash.
Ronnie is going to do it.
Dr. Ronnie.
Now we find out Dr.
Guy.
Ronnie likes to drink a little bit
and likes to put people
on. A few too many. He crashed a car. Didn't hurt no one. But now it has to call and come out.
Did you hear the story, Dr. Ronnie? They were on the road with Barack Obama. He got so drunk, he was pounding the door of a female staff worker in the hotel. Hey, let me in, baby. Secret Service had to tell him, hey, Dr. Ronnie, you got to go to your room.
Slow down.
And I guess they were like, dude, you got to shut up. You're going to wake Barack up. Like, Barack was sleeping, and Dr. Ronnie's all pissed drunk in the hallway.
Sorry. Dr. Ronnie sounds like fun, though.
Only the best.
This is what's going to happen if Lou Mayone ever becomes the first Italian president, and we're all going to find our way to the White House, and this shit will happen.
Well, that's true. You're right. Like, if Lou, you're right. Like, I don't know. I think Lou's more competent than Don. And and even Lou. Like, so what are you saying? That if Lou Mayone becomes president, like, we could be cabinet ministers? And,
No, we won't be confirmed.
I'll be the ambassador to Canada.
Confirmed.
I'll be
Lou
the
will
ambassador
say, yeah.
to Canada.
Put them in. Put those guys in. Yeah.
What job do you want, just, Tony? What
just keep them away from me. I want to be Italy. I'm going to be the ambassador of Italy.
Yeah, you get a nice cushy job, move to Rome, right?
Get drunk and crash the gondolier.
Oh, the best is, too, you could just be the biggest jerk, get drunk, commit crime, and just pull it out.
Diplomatic immunity. Love the diplomatic immunity card.
No, it's crazy, man. You get these like, the Dubai.
But these guys
sheets.
Have, like, killed people.
These
it's
guys,
a diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, dude, there's stories here. Oh, they come here.
It's unbelievable.
They run someone over, drunk driving in a car. Sorry.
No problem.
Sorry, you can't do anything because, all you can do is ask him to go back to his country.
You're a Dodgers fan. I didn't know that Jamie McCourt was also in the Trump white. She's in charge of some other country.
Yeah,
Jamie McCourt got appointed by Trump. All she did was screw a rich man.
Frank McCourt's wife. And Frank McCourt, real class guy, owns parking lots. He was a sleazeball owner of the Dodgers, dude. They were obsessed with him, man.
Oh, the divorce was fascinating.
He's a Boston guy, right? Yeah. Didn't he try to buy the Red
Frank,
Sox?
They didn't let him get the Red Sox. They gave him the Dodgers. She's now the ambassador to Belgium. She is unqualified anything except screw a rich man.
Belgium?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It really is just a big joke.
She gave 400 grand.
I didn't know that. It's ridiculous.
It's just a big joke. Like,
she gave 400 grand to the Trump Victory Fund, and now she's the ambassador of Belgium, Jamie McCourt.
She gave 400K, but don't worry, she gets it back. She gets it back with the joke.
She gave She only gave 2 grand to Hillary. 50 grand Obama. She plays both ways. That's why her and her husband had troubles.
One hire that he did do well, I'll give him credit, Linda McMahon. small business.
Yeah. Oh, she knows stuff. Yeah, hey, you're helping run the WWE. You're doing something right.
There's no, like, I maintain Vince McMahon is more qualified. Like, Vince McMahon's smarter than Donald Trump. Would you agree, Tony?
Like, Vince there's McMahon, no doubt
like,
about it.
Yeah, like, Vince, it must bother Vince in a sense that I can't believe this buffoon is president. And, like, thing is, Vince never ran. He sent Linda out there to run. Like, Vince tried to take the world over. The thing is, with the Me Too movement, man, Vince McMahon.
He's got some skeletons.
You think?
Yeah. Like, do I think?
But now it don't matter after this president, right? It don't matter.
No, you're right. Vince McMahon could just come out and say, yes, I acted inappropriately at times with females in the past. I'm sorry.
But I think they liked it. But I think they liked it. He could just come right out and say it.
Yeah. But come on, I'm Vince McMahon.
The best is when he's playing Linda in the roles too, and he's cheating on her with the young divas. He doesn't care. This guy, he'll do anything.
A lot of skeletons in Vince McMahon's closet.
It's a big closet. We got a few skeletons.
I don't think it matters anymore, though.
No. Everything's out on the table now, man. If you can bang,
you can grab him by the pussy.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can say that on a bus. You can bang adult porn stars. Like, what is uncovered? We just don't have a gay guy yet. As soon as we get a guy that, you know, a gay guy that has a couple homosexual affairs,
that's unacceptable.
I remember that'll be a problem.
I remember Felipe Alou. I'm being sarcastic when I say that. just for the record, I don't want people to hear it. Cam says, get off Dr. Ronnie's back, man.
I like Dr. Ronnie. If you've ever, ever had a panic attack on a plane, the candy man, he's helping people out.
I'm not surprised that a guy walks around with a gym bag with baggies and pills in them is a fan of Dr. Ronnie's work.
What's in the bag would have been a good one today. A lot of mixed stuff.
Now listen, Dr. Ronnie, he's obviously not this incompetent clown that everyone suddenly is making him out to be. I mean, he's been the White House physician.
He's loose with pills.
And he's been an emergency physician in a war zone, yes, et cetera. Like, he's an honorable man, right? But he's not qualified to be running the VA.
Exactly.
And Trump put him in this position by nominating him for this. You know what I mean? It's like basically, you know, if they said, all right, Cam, you know what? We heard that when you grew up, you wanted to be a fireman. And they just made you like the chief of fire. Like, you're the new fire chief. And, like, you got to go and negotiate the new contracts. You'd be like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
I can't lie to you.
It's like Kramer.
I did fire training, and it didn't go very well.
Yeah, it's funny I say it, because, you seem like you'd be...
No, it didn't go well at all.
No?
No. It's actually, I'm opposite to my father. My father's actually a professional scuba diver that could hold underwater before he got COPD for 2 minutes. And to pass the test, you have to put on all the equipment and tanks while you hold your breath. I tried to do it. I had a panic attack. Then I tried and then we had a firefight. When I worked at the refinery, they did fire training. And you know how heavy that gear is? I got to hand it to firefighters. It's a tough bag. And then once the smoke and stuff comes, I freak out. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. I panic and I freak out and I didn't get it done. Straight up truth.
I actually did the same thing. I failed the test. But what happened was they had a CPR part of the test.
Well, you did a fireman test too, Tony? Really?
Yeah. They put the CPR test out there. They put Annie the dummy out there. And that's right. The doll, and I took my pants off, and they sent me home.
Making love to the St. John's Ambulance doll.
You misinterpreted what mouth-to-mouth was.
Yes.
Yeah, like, yeah. You pulled it out, like,
hey, baby.
So we were talking. So, I was mentioning, so Felipe Alou. So, I remember they were, this was like in the, 90s type thing, right? Late 90s. So sort of a bigger deal, gay athletes. And I think the Billy Beane guy.
Yeah, that's right, with Oakland?
Yeah, so it was the gay. And they asked Felipe Alou, because a couple of guys on the Expo said at the time, man, there ain't no gay guys on this team. And, that sort of attitude. And Felipe Alou, I remember he said, I'd rather have a good gay guy on my team than the drug-using, adulterer, drunk-driving guys that are on my team.
Wow.
He said that.
Threw them right out of the bus. You know what I mean? Well, my favorite ads on TV here in the background here, McGruff.
McGruff the crime dog. Yeah, they don't, wait, McGruff, hey, want to walk?
Hey, guys, I think I busted the case wide open. The prince at the scene. Oh, does McGruffy Wuffy need to go to the bathroom? Like, the level of conversation is pretty aggravating here.
It's true.
Like, McGruff really should, like, attack him.
I agree.
I'd be like, arr, you know. Just, you know, get him.
I got to hand it to Geico. Their campaigns for the last little while, like from the caveman to now, they're just, they just get it right. Who's ever
they should with the goddamn amount of money I'm paying them. They got a lot of money.
Sorry, Tony.
When I was a kid,
I know that you're insured.
I loved the McGruff ads, and
yeah,
it almost made me not to want to be a juvenile delinquent, but not quite, not quite enough.
No, you,
like when I would commit a crime as a teenager, I felt bad. I'd think of McGruff. I was like, man. I like McGruff, but sorry, McGruff.
I got to do what I got to do.
Sorry, McGruff. What's done? So, well, you work with the Geico. You're with the lizard people, Tony. Geico?
Yeah, that's who I got my insurance from. It's too much money, though. I'm paying too much. I'm paying for a lizard. I'm paying for all these crazy things.
You're paying for iced tea commercials. So, yeah, basically, your money's going to the trendy Madison Avenue.
Yeah.
Advertising company that's coming up with these cool ads.
Yeah, so if you have no commercials and a shitty insurance agency, you should be able to afford my premiums. Give me a call.
Our boy T-Bone has a lot of insurance issues all the time. He's been hit twice, like by different people. Chicks.
In cars, both time automobiles.
Yeah, and he's got like payments out of him and stuff. And he didn't speak very highly of State Farm.
State Farm did him wrong?
Yeah, and you know what? I've actually done business with State Farm, and I don't speak highly of them either. They suck. All right.
Hey, State Farm, clean up your
Jake.
Game.
Hey, Jake, blow me.
Geico. That should be the Geico commercial. If we could just all be honest all the time, right? The Geico commercial should be some this big 6'6" former NBA star say, hey, you know what? State Farm effed me. Jake, blow me. And that would be a great commercial.
And by the way, the general, it's not cheap. Like Shaq and the
general.
Guy,
no.
Say,
that's the lowbrow
one. That's the thing.
Like, oh, the general.
No, it says this is the trick, right?
I don't trust an insurance company
that has a
that the slogan is animated.
You're right. They're corporate representatives of cartoon.
Yeah.
You know what? I called them, though. I called the general. No, the problem is you can't even do it from Morenci Studios, Canada. No, like I was looking for $40 a month insurance with the general to go real lowbrow. Nah, it's not happening.
It's a scam.
No, you got to go with the Bel Air Direct then. You got to go with the one
that
with
guy,
the
night. Yeah, no, you want to talk about sucks? That guy sucks.
No, you're right, though.
They're $500 a month.
All the insurance companies should just say that in the ad. We're going to F you over. But we got a better commercial than the other guy. You know what I mean? Because you're right. Man, there's nothing that angers me more besides the stupid pharmaceutical ads in which side effects include death, suicide attempts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Complete alcoholism. Like, those ads kill me. But is the insurance ones. You know, like the, you know, sometimes they do the melodramatic music. We're there for you after the flood. It's like, no, you're not. You know, after Hurricane Katrina, you told people it was an act of God. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
you know, like they haven't paid people for the Hurricane Sandy in New Jersey still yet. They're arguing about that.
Insurance
companies are scumbags unless you want to advertise on this show. Yeah,
exactly. Then you're a great guy.
But Morenci, I thought you said they were creeps. Yeah, that's before I met them. They're good guys. And State Farm protects American families better than any other insurance company.
So cows don't kill you.
So what are you saying? You'd like to just step on that Geico? Like, if you saw that Geico talking in his little British accent, what would you do? Would you shake his hand or just, like, punt him like a football?
I like to pee on him.
You want to
piss on him, too. I think the lizard's the worst out of their whole campaign.
You guys,
He-Man was good. McGruff was good.
He-Man's the best.
That's what I'm saying. He-Man, like Skeletor doesn't want to pay a lot for insurance either. But this stupid lizard, I'm going to tell you, the lizard actually, Americans don't want to hear a lizard with a British accent.
That He-Man
Let me tell
ad,
you that.
That He-Man ad is awesome.
Let me ask you something.
Hey, give us one good reason why we shouldn't ban you for eternity. Geico can save you 10% on car insurance?
When us Americans can't afford drugs.
He takes off. See you on the flip side, suckers.
Exactly.
Us Americans that can't afford drugs, how come we get them from Canada by mail really cheap?
I'm not into insurance, right?
Like, Tony just wants drugs through the mail. That's all he's saying.
I don't even have a fire.
We get it cheap. We get it in Canada, though.
Trust me. Have you seen what we pay for meds? You have no idea. It's ridiculous, man. Obamacare is a joke compared to what we pay. Like, it's crazy. If you don't have health insurance and stuff, you know those pills that I'm taking?
It's not even close, Cam.
What?
It's not even close. Like, even, like, you think you're paying a lot and stuff. Like, you're not.
Really?
Yeah. Like, a pill that in Canada costs, like, $3 costs, like, $12.
So you're saying my heart meds that I pay $90 for would be, like, $180 in the States?
Yeah, it'd be, like,
yeah, you have to pay $60 to get an erection.
Like, you remember, like, the EpiPen?
Yeah.
The EpiPen. What do they charge for that EpiPen thing when they raised it? It was $800. In Canada, it's $99.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My,
like,
God.
It's not even close.
That's brutal.
Americans get gouged.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize it's that bad. They get gouged for medical.
Brutal.
Pharmaceutical companies own Congress, man. They run the government.
Yeah, $300 to $600 for without insurance for the EpiPen.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, the thing costs like $19 to make. You know what? Honestly, what it is, too, if you look on television, on more serious note, now we're getting deep here, but you'll notice, like, the news networks, the cable news networks, never investigate the corruption and the gouging and Congress. Like, Congress voted against it. Brack actually tried to get them to stop gouging, and Congress said, no, let's keep gouging people. So, because Congress, you know, all their big contributors, they get donated max donations
big from pharma.
Big Pharma. And why doesn't anyone rock them? You know, they're too busy. Oh, my God, did Donald Trump sleep with a hooker 13 years ago?
Good point.
Anderson Cooper, if you want to keep him honest, Anderson, why don't you do a story about how your advertisers are hooking everyday Susie Housecoat to pharmaceuticals? But you don't, because they're your advertisers.
Correct.
That'd be like us telling people, you know what, don't play fantasy sports. It's going to ruin your life.
Don't bet on games.
Yeah, don't
it becomes
bet.
Addictive. It might become
you.
Addictive.
Yeah, don't bet. The juice is too much. You can't win in fantasy. It's only certain to five people win all the time. We could never say that.
Amazing.
We got to keep it real, though, Tony, right? Ben Roethlisberger is the biggest dick in the world. Like, he's a jerk. Like, Ben Roethlisberger sat at an NFL Hall of Fame thing once. And it was, like, just quarterbacks at the table. It was, like, Joe Montana was there. Steve Young was there. Jim Kelly. So there was all these, like, elite quarterbacks.
Legends.
With current guys. And it was, like, a luncheon type thing, all right? And the whole time, like, Russell Wilson's, like, asking him questions. Man, what about this Super Bowl? And your comeback. And tell me about the drive. And, like, everyone's eating everything up, and they said Roethlisberger just stared at his phone the whole time.
Oh, like, really? Hey?
Didn't talk to anyone.
No questions.
No, like, didn't care. Like, just didn't participate in a conversation. Like, kind of, I'm here because, you know, I have to be here. Yeah, I have to be here as part of the NFLPA or whatever. Like, and they just basically stated, they're like, man, like, all, I guess when he left, a couple of the other quarterbacks said, man, he's just a miserable
guy. What's with this guy?
They just said he's a miserable guy, isn't he? And they said, yeah, he's just an asshole. Like, he's just like the typical jock, doesn't give a shit about anybody else, right? He does. Like, if you remember, in the earlier years, his teammates didn't like him.
Correct.
Like, even though he was good, it was only, you'll notice about 3 years ago, he went way out of his way. And he oversells it like a big phony. My teammates and like this and my, you know what I mean? He's really, really wee now. I think it's a little too little too late. I think they sort of, all you need to know about Ben Roethlisberger is somehow, Cam, and we never got to the bottom of this, is what was he doing in the hallway, specifically after Stormy Daniels left Donald Trump's hotel room?
Yeah, out of all the figures, Big Ben was there.
Like, if you had, no one ever talks about this, but if you actually know what happened, she left the room, and then she claims that Ben Roethlisberger escorted her back to her room. So why is Ben Roethlisberger escorting Stormy Daniels back to her room after Donald Trump just did her? I don't get this.
It's a great question.
Like no one has really dug down deep enough in this one. Like, not no one in the sports world ever asked Ben Roethlisberger.
Why were you as Stormy Daniels?
Cardano, if you're listening right now, you should just send me to Pittsburgh for this.
Yeah, investigative reports.
Yeah, send me to Pittsburgh and imagine, like, first day of training camp.
Hi, everybody.
Everyone talking football questions. How's the knee? How's the knee? How many more years are you going to play? What were you doing outside of Donald Trump's hotel room the night that Stormy Daniels did the dirty with him? Why were you there? Like, were you eavesdropping? Did you do or
yeah,
after?
That's kind of what I, yeah, that's kind of where you're leaning. I'd have to believe that. Why was he there? To escort her back? Doesn't seem like a gentlemanly thing to do, but
it just seems strange. And of the sleaziest story of the last 10 years, and that Ben Roethlisberger's
in, he's in the mix.
Somehow Big Ben's there.
It wouldn't be an orgy without Big Ben, Gabe.
You know that Big Ben calls his dick Big Ben, too, huh?
Does he really?
No, he must.
I thought that was part of the story.
No.
He calls his dick Big Ben. What?
No, but I'm saying he must. Like,
yeah, yeah. If he's hung like a horse, he's calling it Big Ben.
Like, you know, when chicks say to him, hey, you're Big Ben. And he said, this is Big Ben.
You're sleeping with Big Ben.
Yeah, Big Ben.
Big Ben's going to insert, he's going to come at you.
Or it's Little Ben.
Little Ben.
You know, like on Monday Night Football, like when they say their name and what school they went to?
Yeah.
You know, Jabril Peppers, University of Michigan. Josh Rosen is going to say, Josh Rosen, Jewish. Jewish University.
B'nai B'rith Temple.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, listen.
Yes.
I'm being sarcastic now.
I know,
before anyone thinks so, I'm right.
No, it's a joke. Yeah. We're joking around. Yeah,
I'm stating, that people, I mean, like Tony Kornheiser stated.
Racist.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? A lot of Jewish people think I am Jewish. And I was in a press box once at a Montreal Canadiens game with a bunch of media people in, like, the dining room before the game. I'm sitting there, and one guy starts sitting there and starts getting into it. Starts talking about how he wishes he was Jewish and he'd do better in the media industry if he was Jewish. So,
nice rant at the spread table.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there and I'm eating, and there's like four or six of us at the table and still we're eating. And there's a couple of Jewish guys. This guy's Italian. Yeah. He's saying this, all right? He's Italian. He's like, you know, I'm a WOP and I can't get a deal here, and he's going off and I can't do this. And like, he's like, if I was Jewish, I wouldn't have these problems. So he's sitting there.
This is amazing.
And we're eating. I don't say a word. I'm thinking, dude, what the hell
are you talking about, bro?
What are you eating? You're sitting in a press box saying you wish you were Jewish. You're like, what are you doing? So I'm sitting there, I'm eating. And finally, one of the Jewish guys at the table, I think it was, what was his name? I think it was Barry Garber.
Barry Garber. Nice. Good handle.
Yeah, very Jewish sound.
Barry Garber.
I think it was Barry Garber. Somebody at the table said, all right, I've had enough of this
crap.
And he's all like, he goes, I'm Jewish. I got to wake up at 5:30 in the morning to do stupid sports updates. Yeah, I really have it freaking great, don't I? So he starts like throwing it back. And then the best part was, Cam, he looks at me and he goes, Gabriel, he goes, what do you have to say as a Jew? Aren't you upset about this?
As a Jew?
Yeah, he goes, as a Jew, aren't you upset by what he's saying? I looked up. I said, Barry, I've learned to tolerate other people's dumb opinions. I'm eating my soup. I played it all cool. I didn't say, I'm not Jewish, Barry. Like, so I just played it up. But it was funny. He's like, aren't you offended by this? I was like, well, I don't let people's unguided thoughts, you know.
The best is how they just assume you're Jewish.
Oh, yeah. No, Italians always think I'm Italian. Greeks think I'm Greek. Jews think I'm Jewish. Like, it's just, I can fit anywhere. I can blend in. That's why, like, I could go on vacation in the Middle East. Like, you couldn't.
Oh, God, no.
Like, you'd last, like, 2 minutes at the airport in Kabul.
Hey, everybody. You see a guy with a red face and blonde eyebrows? Like, you're right. Like, it's target practice for me. Like, they're looking at this at me going, yeah, you're right. I don't even what's the over-under survival? Very, very slim.
Like, if I had a bit of a tan, I could blend in a bit. You know?
Little bit, yeah.
I could blend in.
Well, you know? I'd say in those countries you're going to live longer. Yeah, you bring up good points there. I'm dead.
The Costa Rica, I didn't really stick out all that much. What made me stick out was I'm wearing a Michigan Wolverines football jersey. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
If I was wearing a soccer jersey and stuff, you'd blend in more. But
listen to Game Time Decisions every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.